Testing and arguing. Masa means testing, and Meribah means arguing. And so in Exodus, those words became the symbolic names of the place where the children of Israel tested the Lord and argued with Moses on the beginning of their long journey in the wilderness. But can we really blame the Israelites? After all, despite our scientific and technological accomplishments, the whole world is right now in a medical, economic, and social crisis because of a virus which most of us had never heard of until 3 months ago, and which is a real threat only to the elderly and members of other high-risk groups, but which usually causes symptoms like the flu in most people, who then fully recover after a few days. The Hebrews, on the other hand, were on their own in a remote desert wasteland with no source of water, and therefore rightly expected that they and their children and their animals would all die gruesomely of thirst. Fear causes people to do things they would not ordinarily do. And despite having seen the signs and wonders that led to their exodus from Egypt, the children of Israel were afraid of death. And so they tested the Lord and argued with Moses. But while they came to regret their lack of trust in the Lord, they were right to fear death, because they knew that without water, there is no life. In many cultures, water is revered as a sacred substance or a divine gift. And even now, as we begin to explore this unimaginably vast universe, our one small planet remains the only place in the cosmos we know of for certain to contain liquid water. And for people who live in arid places far from running water, a reliable spring-fed well is both a sign of divine providence and an invaluable resource without which life cannot be sustained. The town of Sychar in Samaria contained just such a well, and in the time of Christ it was already 2,000 years old. The land had once been owned by Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, who gave it to his youngest son Joseph, who would later be sold into slavery by his brothers and find his way to Egypt. By the time of Christ, though, the town of Sychar and the surrounding region were inhabited not by Jews, but by Samaritans, people who were regarded by observant Jews as religious heretics and blood traitors. That is why most Jews did everything possible to avoid this area, often going many miles out of their way to go around the territory, but not the Lord Jesus. On a journey north from Judea back to Galilee, after walking all morning on hot, dusty roads, Jesus arrived around midday at Jacob's well and sent the 12 off to buy provisions. Jesus remained at the well, not just to cool and refresh himself, but to reveal himself to a Samaritan woman, no less, who would become then an instrument of his grace for many other people, leading them to saving faith in the one who alone is everlasting life. John's gospel does not tell us this woman's name, though an ancient tradition assigns her the symbolic name of Photina, meaning the luminous one, from the Greek word for light, phos. But the light in this case comes not from the Samaritan woman herself, but rather from the illumination she received from the itinerant rabbi whom she should have hated and feared, but who instead changed her life. Their conversation, as recounted by St. John, is at first perplexing and then deeply moving. This woman's life is a mess. She had been married 5 times and is now living with a man to whom she is not married. The Lord Jesus knows this, of course, as he knows all things about all of us. and he loves her and us still the same. As we saw at the Amazonian Synod last October, it is now fashionable in the church to talk about dialogue with and accompaniment of those who do not share our faith, rather than about the proclamation of the gospel. But here at Jacob's Well, we find the legitimate expression of true dialogue and accompaniment at the service of evangelization. Jesus has a conversation with this woman in which he acknowledges the moral chaos in her life, but does so without any scorn or contempt. And then he gently calls her to everlasting life through conversion and the acceptance of true religion by the gift of divine revelation accepted by faith. Moved to the depth of her soul by his gracious mercy and the power of his word, the Samaritan woman is changed by the Lord Jesus and then becomes Fotina, the luminous one, who shares the liberating truth of the gospel with all the other people in her town, many of whom come to believe that Jesus is the Christ. My friends, our lives are often filled with testing and arguing, with moral confusion and chaos, with doubts and fears which lead us to do strange things, not least because we want to live forever, but know that we will all die. We test the Lord and argue with the church because we do not like what the gospel reveals and want the church to change her teaching to suit our sensibilities. We make peace with our sins and then insist that they aren't really sins at all. We turn away from the means of grace because we don't really think that grace can get the job done. Consider the Samaritan woman's first reply to Jesus. On hearing about his living water, she thought he was offering her indoor plumbing that would relieve her of the daily task of coming to the well. Now think of the 12. When Jesus told them that he had food of which they knew nothing, they assumed he meant that someone had brought him a sandwich while they were at the store. Like them, our sights are usually set too low, and we fail to grasp that preserving and extending our bodily life as we know it here is not remotely the same thing as receiving everlasting life in the kingdom of God. The good news of salvation is that Jesus Christ forgives our sins, heals our wounds, answers our doubts, soothes our fears, and resolves our arguments, because he is the living water that becomes in those who believe and trust in him a spring welling up to everlasting life, which is none other than a participation in his own divine life. And ordinarily, this spring of living water opens in us at our baptism, the promises of which we are preparing to renew at Easter on Passover Sunday. Of that holy mystery, St. Paul writes to the Romans, "Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." When we are born again by water and the Holy Spirit, then we are justified by grace through faith and made the children of God by adoption. The sacrament of baptism is called by many names, including enlightenment, because in our baptism we receive the light of Christ. From that moment, we become like Fotina, instruments of grace for others, and it is our privilege and duty to lead every person we know to the one alone who died for us when we were still sinners, the one alone who gives living water welling up to eternal life, the one alone who is the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ.